From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Welcome to Current Sports, as always. I am your host, Al Martin. We have a great show in store for you all. So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your hump day here on September 3rd. Now, my goodness, the week is kind of flying by here, folks. But a fantastic show, one with lots of discussion. We'll be talking, of course, about Justin Verlander and his off-the-field issues right now. The Tigers getting onto a roll now with two straight against the Cleveland Indians. Wes Welker, he's in a bit of a pickle right now. Michael Sam inks a deal with my favorite NFL team. And yes, Barbershop Wednesday will be coming right at you. All of that and so much more. But hey, as custom here on the show, here's Alex Shar with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy hump day. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Wednesday, September 3rd. J.D. Martinez hit a three-run homer off closer Cody Allen with one out in the ninth, rallying the Tigers to a 4-2 win over the Cleveland Indians on Tuesday night. Phil Koch pitched one and a third innings, and Joe Nathan worked the ninth for his 29th save. Tigers rookie starter Kyle Lobstein was superb in his first career road start, allowing five hits in five and a third innings and striking out a whopping 10. Alex Avila was removed in the sixth after taking a foul ball off of his mask. Detroit's comeback kept the Tigers on the heels of first-place Kansas City and the AL Central. The Royals still have a half-game lead in the division. Game three takes place tonight at 7:05 p.m., Justin Verlander versus Danny Salazar. And speaking of Verlander, the Detroit Tigers starting pitcher commented Tuesday for the first time on the leaked nude photos of him and girlfriend Kate Upton that surfaced during the holiday weekend. He said, quote, "I'm not going to comment on my personal life. I never have, and I never plan on it. I keep my personal life personal," end quote. Upton is vowing legal action over the apparent hack. The FBI has said it is still investigating. Denver Broncos wide receiver Wes Welker is denying that his four-game suspension for breaking the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs was a result of his taking MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy or Molly, at the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. He said, quote, "I wouldn't have any idea where to get a Molly or what a Molly is. That's a joke. I don't do marijuana. I don't do drugs. I don't do any drugs," end quote. Welker tested positive for amphetamines for a sample taken shortly after he attended the Derby. The 33-year-old veteran, who is entering his 11th season, also said he now knows the drug policy procedures in the league are, quote, "clearly flawed," end quote, and that he will do everything in his power to ensure they are corrected. The Dallas Cowboys have signed defensive end Michael Sam to their practice squad, who is seeking to become the first openly gay athlete to play in the NFL. Cowboys coach Jason Garrett announced the signing this morning. He said, quote, "We just want to give him a chance to come in and help our football team. That's where our attention is. Football. What people say outside the organization is up to them," end quote. With a definite need for pass rush help, the Cowboys are bringing in Sam, who had three sacks in the preseason for the St. Louis Rams, for an extended look to see if last year's co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year can potentially help a defensive line. Relatives of former linebacker Junior Seau, whose suicide in 2012 put the NFL's concussion crisis on national agenda, will reject a proposed settlement between the league and thousands of former players, according to a family lawyer. The decision to opt out means the Seau family will proceed with a wrongful death lawsuit they filed back in January of 2013. That suit alleges that the NFL concealed the dangers of football-related head trauma over a period of several years. After his death, Seau was diagnosed with CTE, a neurodegenerative disease that has been found in dozens of deceased NFL players. The announcement coming on the eve of the 2014 season is a serious blow to the NFL's efforts to put the concussion issue to rest. To USA FIBA basketball news, Team USA takes on the Dominican Republic in the 2014 FIBA World Cup today. The game is slated to tip off at 3:30 p.m. in Spain and will be broadcasted on ESPN2 in the U.S. The United States team is 3-0 atop Group B, while the Dominican Republic has won two out of three games and sits in third place in the group. The U.S. has destroyed Finland and New Zealand, but had trouble with Turkey in Game 2, though it ultimately won the game. Tom Watson used his three captains picks yesterday and selected Keegan Bradley, Hunter Mahan, and Webb Simpson as his final selections. The three are a combined 8-5-3 in their Ryder Cup careers, with Bradley and Mahan pitching in three wins each and Simpson providing two. Bradley and Mahan were expected to be selected, but it was Simpson, who Captain Tom Watson did not decide on until Tuesday morning, that came as a surprise. Watson told the Golf Channel, quote, "It really came to me this morning. I kind of had a revelation," end quote. And lastly, the Ottawa Police Department said this morning that an Ottawa Sun story reporting that Pittsburgh Penguin Sidney Crosby was arrested is an out-and-out blatant lie, end quote. Toronto Sun and Ottawa Sun reported overnight that Crosby was arrested in Ottawa for a driving-related incident. However, that report appears to be untrue. Ottawa Police Chief Charles Bordeleau tweeted this morning that his department had no dealings with Mr. Crosby, and the department also commented on the story to various news outlets. According to a report, Crosby was arrested while driving a rented Porsche and was taken to an Ottawa police station for fingerprinting and mugshot. Those details, however, appear to be false. The story on the Sun's website has been removed. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for Wednesday, September 3rd. Time to send it back to Al to start the show for this hump day. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex Shark, for those current sports quick hit headliners. As you just said, our phone lines are open and they will be open throughout this entire hour here like we do each and every day here on the show. That number to call in and discuss anything that's on your sports noggin is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hope you all are having a fantastic Wednesday, folks. I'm having a good one right now. I am particularly excited about today. Not only is today, you know, we have a great radio show in store for you throughout this hour, and we also record the TV show tonight. Not only am I excited about work, but I'm also pretty excited, Alex, about my ESPN streak for the cash. Now, hopefully I don't jinx myself right now. For those, do you play streak for the cash, Alex?
I have before. Not lately. I haven't been as lucky as you, Al.
Well, I tell you what. I started, you know, normally I'm terrible at Streak for the Cash. I mean,
Well, explain what Streak for the Cash is for, the,
well,
for those,
yeah,
who don't know.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to say. Yeah, ESPN Streak for the Cash, they hold this thing every single month where they give you different events each and every day. I mean, Monday through Sunday for an entire month. Different sporting events to take place from, you know, ranging from 7:30 a.m. all the way till midnight. And you have to pick on what you think will happen. So, for instance, like, you know, this morning, they had as far as the FIBA World Cup Championship is concerned, they had the Philippines going against Puerto Rico. You could choose the Philippines or Puerto Rico to win. Puerto Rico, of course, ended up winning that game. And if you win, then your streak kind of builds up. That means they'll put W1, and how many it has to do with how many wins you can get in a row. And they sometimes come up with these crazy scenarios about, you know, I'm looking at one here at 2:15 p.m. on NBC. It's an international friendly game, the USA versus Czech Republic. Will the United States score a goal in the first half? And you have to, like, you know, pick yes or no. And, you know, that can also keep your streak going. But anyway, you know, it's a new month. It's September 3rd now. And I started my streak, right? Started on the month, I won one, right? I'm like, okay, that's a good way to start my month here. Next thing you know, I won two. I'm like, all right, I'm feeling pretty good here. Then I rattle off three. And now, my brother, I am at a winning streak of four. Now, in the next, because the month just started here, you have to win 25 straight. I'm a long way off 25, but you have to win 25 straight in order to win the stash, which is right now $20,000. They actually had a winner for last month, the first time they've had a winner since March of this year. Man, the guy took home $127,000. Can you believe that? Yeah, big bucks here. The thing I like about Streak, though, you have to, it's not like playing a lottery. We have to put money down. You just log in on your ESPN account and just play. It's fun stuff. But I need some advice, Alex. So I can blame this on you in case my streak, goes awry.
Hey, it's your streak, not me.
Yeah, that's true. I need some advice. I need some friendly advice here.
I'm not giving you advice.
No, come on.
I'm not taking the blame.
Help a brother out. Help a brother out here. I'm asking here. I'm just saying, what would Alex do, okay? WWAD here, okay? I got to ask you. I'm on win streak four right now, right? Now, there's a lot of things going on throughout today, but do you think this is a good pick? I'm choosing United States to win or draw against the Czech Republic at 2:15 today. Is that a good one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer, Al.
Nope, you said
I'm not
yeah.
taking the blame.
You said yeah. I read your body language.
I never said good one. I just said yeah. Yeah, I see your pick. Yep.
Well, I'm going with it. I'm going all for right. that. I'm going to stick with it, and if I lose, I'm going to come on here tomorrow and say Alex ruined my streak.
All right.
How's that sound?
You definitely had bigger streaks than four.
Oh, yeah. I got all the way. My longest one I've ever had is 14, right? That's how you about the Fred Heumann story at Channel 6?
Nope.
I was, you know, this happened to be around, you know, the men's basketball.
Why did you blame Fred for his pick?
Oh, no, Fred messed up my pick. Totally. I mean, I'm sitting there with him. I'm like, yeah, Fred, my streak's at 14. He goes bonkers in the sports dungeon. And he's like, what? oh man, what are you going to hit on next? Blah blah blah. You know, he's all in my ear. And I'm showing him my list here, and I happen to choose. Oh my goodness, what pick was? I think it was when Miami had like a good outing in the tourney, and he's like, yeah, roll on Miami. They're looking good right now. Choose Miami. His words. I choose Miami. Of course, they lost, getting knocked out of the tourney, and my win streak of 14 goes all the way back down.
I'm curious for the listeners, if any of you have participated in Streak for Cash, what has been your biggest loss as your streak continued?
Yeah.
Was it as bad as Al's?
Mine was bad. 14, that's pretty big. I mean, to sniff 14
is
tough in this whole thing. But
what was your losing pick, and how bad was it? Please call in 355-95. 355-9527.
Yeah, I would like to know that too. I would definitely like to know, because then I won't feel so bad about mine. So yeah, there we go. But folks, we have a great show in store for you. I'm excited about today's show. It's going to be one with lots of discussion, folks. Lots of discussion. During our second half of the show, we're going to talk about Wes Welker. As you just heard in our Quicken headliners, Wes Welker busted for the use of the drug Molly. How about that? You know, this drug has really been integrated so much now into our culture, into our youth, more so, I should say. I mean, you hear the drug mentioned countless times in rap videos and pop videos, and it seems to be becoming a casual drug in a lot of places now. I guess it was found in Welker's system, but he's denying that it was, though.
Wow.
So there will be an investigation.
Oh,
that's going to be interesting.
Goodness.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll dive into that. We'll also talk about Michael Sam, of course, inking a deal, as you just heard from Alex in our Quicken headliners. He inked a deal with my favorite NFL team, other than the Lions. I got some tweets when I said that earlier when I started the show. The Lions are right now, of course. I mean, I'm born and bred in Detroit. Of course, Detroit is my number one team. But, you know, the Lions are bad. You got to find that other team to root for in the playoffs, and that team just happened to be the Cowboys for me. That's the team that Michael Sam looks to be inking a practice squad deal with. We'll talk about that. And also Barbershop Wednesday, folks, an interesting one concerning the Yankee star, the captain, the man, the myth, the legend, Derek Jeter. It's being reported. Interesting stuff here. The New York Yankees announced yesterday that the team will wear a patch of Derek Jeter's final season logo on all player hats and unis from September 7th, which is the day that the shortstop will be honored at Yankee Stadium, through the end of the season. Interesting stuff. Of course, you know, this has been the swan song season for Derek Jeter. He's been honored by countless teams. He had the great, you know, honor at the All-Star game. But at what point does it become too much? At what point does it become too much, folks? Want to get your thoughts on it. That's our Barbershop Wednesday for today. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll also wrap up the show by talking about Junior Seau's family opting out of the concussion settlement deal to proceed with their legal allegations of the NFL really just acting, you know, and wrongdoing, knowing what they knew about concussions and enabling it and kind of hiding it for years and years and years. So interesting stuff there. But we start today's show with our hot topic.
Getting nudie.
Yeah, it's that's a good way to put it, Alex. Yes, Justin Verlander, ladies and gents. Oh, boy. Well, of course, as we talked about on yesterday's show, Justin Verlander and girlfriend Kate Upton, they've been taking a lot of nude photos with each other, a lot of them. And eventually, you know, I guess their cell phones got hacked. Well, Kate Upton's cell phone got hacked, along with also actress Jennifer Lawrence. Her cell phone was also hacked.
There were many others here, Al.
Yeah, many others.
Kardashian was in there. There
yeah,
are tons.
It's a big celebrity, you know, cell phone picture nudie scandal here. And, of course, Justin Verlander being the boyfriend of model Kate Upton, he actually took a nude photo with Kate that went viral, went everywhere. Oh, boy, I tell you. And it's been a talk of the town right now. And particularly so, seeing as though Justin Verlander pitches tonight, folks. He will be on the mound tonight against the Cleveland Indians. So first off, Alex, I really don't know or understand. I've never been able to understand how, if you are a celebrity, if your name is in the public eye, in the public realm, day in and day out, if you are a popular public figure that everybody knows, if you're a celebrity, why would you even take photos like that? I just don't get it, man. Especially if you're going to do it, because I understand me giving this speech still, you know, and even seeing the countless, you know, scandalous photos, not even just about, you know, Justin Verlander, Kate Upton, and Jennifer Lawrence, and so on and so forth. I mean, there's been countless in the past as well. Celebrities are going to continue to do this, without a doubt. But what I don't understand is why do it on your cell phone, where it could be uploaded to the cloud, where it could be where it could be easily hacked, obviously. Why do it in a technology realm? If you take it, why don't you, you know, if you want it, why don't you print it off and keep it in a keepsake or something like that? You know, why are you going to do it on your cell phone where anybody...
Do you honestly print your own photos off and put them in a keepsake? I mean, I put all mine on my computer.
But if you are going to take a photo like that, why would you do it on your cell phone?
Well, I don't know. You probably wouldn't think that someone would be able to hack your cell phone. I mean, what are the odds of that?
How many times have we seen this happen before? I mean, there's so many hackers out there. How many times have we seen a celebrity get hacked and all of a sudden their photo upload? We saw with Scarlett Johansson, who, by the way, the hacker that hacked her phone, he's, I think, currently serving like, you know, 15 or something years in jail for it, which is unbelievable. But, you know, the hacker of her phone, I mean, he got punished immensely. So this has happened before. When you see countless examples of this happen, don't you think you would wise up a little bit? I don't know. I've always wondered that, man. I know if I was, you know, a Kate Upton or Justin Verlander or any type of realm, I would be trying to watch every single thing I do. I would be like the Derek Jeter in the public realm. Derek Jeter's a guy. He's so popular. He dates all these, you know, gorgeous models and so on and so forth. He goes out to the clubs and whatnot. We've seen that. But Derek Jeter knows how to handle himself in the public realm where, you know, he doesn't get caught slipping, so to speak. But this is a perfect example of Justin Verlander getting caught slipping. And I was really, you know, interested to see if Justin Verlander was going to address this. Eventually, he had to because, of course, the questions were going to come from the media about how did this happen? How is this going to affect you? And, of course, Justin Verlander, as you just talked about in our headliners, Alex, Justin Verlander came out and said, my personal life is my personal life, and I'm going to leave it at that, period. You know, a real cliche answer. Pretty much expected that. But the question now is, how big of a distraction will this become for Justin Verlander and the Detroit Tigers, specifically tonight now? Because the Tigers right now, I mean, it's desperation mode for the Tigers where they are trying to keep the pace, which they are doing, you know, keeping the pace with Kansas City and trying to stay in the wild card chase for the playoffs. And now you have, you know, one of your aces and one of the best pitchers in the game right now, and Justin Verlander, even though he's had an up-and-down year, him taking the mound with all of this on his mind now. I don't know how this will affect JV. If, you know, and it, he may rise to the occasion and say, hey, you know, I don't care. You know, my personal life is my personal life. I'm going to go out here and pitch the best game of my life. Or it could become a distraction where he just has a terrible game. It's going to be interesting, but I just don't get why celebrities do this, though, man. I don't know.
Now, I didn't see Justin Verlander's quotes from today. I didn't watch the video. I didn't see his reactions to the question of, you know, what do you think about the new photos? Is that going to affect you? And then he answered back, you know, I don't talk about my personal life. I only focus on baseball. I mean, he made it pretty clear that this won't really affect his performance, or he won't connect it to.
But he has to say that. He has to say that.
Sure.
You know?
You know, and but he's saying...
When those Cleveland fans start, you know, chanting at him and trying to get under his skin, that may do something to him, man. I don't know. You have to be mentally tough, I tell you that.
Yeah, now he's saying it's not going to get to him. It's just baseball. His teammates, I'm sure, won't comment on it to him directly. I mean, I that might be kind of awkward. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Definitely. But I wouldn't bring it up.
I mean, you of course, but every fan
unless you're
at
really
that
close
game,
to him.
Every a lot of fans at that game are going to be making jokes left and right. You know, how's Kate? Nice nudie.
Oh, yeah. The signs will be in glory as
roll
well.
Roll up your shirt.
Yeah, you know, just crazy stuff.
Something about that.
You've thought about it. Yeah, there's a lot of chance that it'll be out there. Yeah, that's true. But now it legitimizes.
Worst timing,
this discussion too.
Worst timing.
Terrible timing. But we brought up this discussion as well. Has Kate Upton become a distraction? I think it's safe to say now, yes.
Now, yes.
Without a doubt, she has. Because without her, because she, if you look at this whole thing, Kate Upton is the one taking these pictures, and she's sending these pictures out to him and whatnot and so on and so forth. And with her being, you know, the supermodel and, you know, Sports Illustrated model, she's become a distraction now for Justin
Verlander. If he wasn't dating Kate Upton, he wouldn't have a nudie pic going around right now.
Exactly. It wouldn't even be a bit, you know, exactly. He would never be tied to it. Exactly. He would not have been tied to it, you know. And it just, you know, now if you're JV, you know, and again, looking at the season and the year he's had, it's been by no means impressive, if you will. I mean, he's had one or two outings that you said, okay, man, that's JV I know. But overall, I mean, we've seen him blow kisses to Kate in the stands. I mean, he just doesn't seem focused right now. And I think it's safe to say now because we talked about it. Has Kate become a distraction? Yes. Without a doubt, 100% yes now. It's how Justin Verlander now deals with this that's gonna tell a lot about him.
From a performing standpoint, of course I'm sure it's going to bother him a little bit. And is he looking at that and maybe thinking like, oh, well, you know, is Kate really distracting me? I'm sure he's thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you and I are both young guys, and on this show, we talk all sorts of things. She's a very good-looking woman. And if I'm Justin Verlander, right, I'm going to be very proud of Kate Upton as my girlfriend.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
I have no problem with him blowing kisses to her on the ground. That's fine.
But you know what I call from where I'm from in the D, man, Alex? We call, and there's a certain line, and we have a certain line. I got this from my stepdad, and we always have fun with it. But we call them suckers for love.
He's whipping it.
Or whipped. You know, yeah. Suckers for love, whipped. I like suckers for love just because it sounds cool. But, you know, we call them, you know, guys who just get, I mean, you probably, you know, had the friend, right, who is just like, you know, before he was in a relationship, he always hung out, you know what I mean? He would always, you know, go to the rec and play ball with you or, you know, come over and just, you know, just have a good time or go out with the fellas. But the minute he got into a relationship, you know what happened? He just went ghost recall. He just, you know, spends all his time with his girl. You call him up, hey, man, we're going out, you know, about to go see a movie or something. You want to come, dude? And he's like, oh, man, you know, I'm with my girl. We out shopping today or we got to do this. You know, Justin Verlander may be suffering now from the sucker for love complex. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying I don't know what he does in his personal life if he's hanging out or ditching his friends, you know, to go hang out with Kate. But I tell you what. He's in love with this girl, and he's all Kate right now, from the moochie yeah. PDAs to, you know, to the blowing kisses in the stands. Oh, man, it could become a distraction now, and you yeah. could lose yourself.
It's bad also that it's the tail end of his career. Not necessarily. I mean, he's not 35 still, and retiring, right, but right. It's after he won. You know, he was the best pitcher in the AL, and he won the awards, and his numbers were way better. He was throwing a high 90s fastball. Now he's mid 90s, and it's just that part where he's starting to decline a little bit. Yeah, I kind of wish he had it earlier in his career, Kate on his side. So
yeah, well, I tell you what, it's all about focus now. I'm really, a lot of people are going to be looking at how, you know, JV approaches the mound tonight and how he ideally locks in. It's going to be interesting.
Tonight versus Salazar, what do you think?
Yeah,
I
think the Tigers pull this one out. I do think that, you know, I think JV rises above the occasion, kind of puts everything on the back burner and just goes out there and plays baseball. Sometimes, you know, when you're going through something like this off the field, the game that you love and what you do can become a getaway. You know what I mean? It can become your safe haven, your place where you can just relax and just do what you do best and take your mind off things. I think that'll happen tonight. I think JV does rise to the occasion. I think he'll be fine. I think this is just to be a blimp on the radar. And, well, he'll be, the countless victim now of many, many jokes here on Current Sports and probably many radio shows throughout the country. But, hey, you know, that's what happens when something like this happens. And again, you know, going back to the whole Le'Veon Bell discussion we had last week with Le'Veon being caught with 20 grams of weed in his car before, you know, catching a flight for a preseason game, it just really shows you how, in the blink of an eye, in just one moment, the perception of a squeaky queen athlete like Justin Verlander can suddenly change. And you got to be mindful of everything you do out there. Everything you do can possibly have a consequence. You got to surround yourself with people you trust. So, interesting stuff. What are your thoughts on the Justin Verlander nudie scandal? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, Alex, let's dive into the Tigers. And I tell you what, without this man right here, I don't know if we're talking about a win.
Drilled to center field. Bourne is on the run. Still going back. He looks up. J.D. has done it again. Into the trees in center. Martinez, a three-run shot, and the Tigers have the lead.
That ball was absolutely killed by J.D. Martinez.
Are you kidding me? Dead central. He gets Cody Allen again, and the Tigers have their first lead of the game.
Oh, boy, yeah, J.D. Martinez. And you can hear, you know, from that audio, just the entire Tigers bullpen and dugout, I should say, just going absolutely bonkers. I mean, how good has J.D. Martinez been? I mean, how many times have we said J.D. to the rescue? Yeah. I mean, he's unbelievable.
He's been consistent out. And
it's been great.
And you know what? I hate to distract J.D.'s accomplishments from this game, but the saddest part about what you said just now, you could hear the Tigers dugout going bonanza. Mm-hmm. The fact that you could hear the dugout and barely any fans there. How many fans do you think were at that game, Al?
You know what, looking in the stands, if I had to guesstimate here, maybe like, you know, maybe 3,000, something like that.
There were 9,000 fans.
Oh, even more. Okay, more than I predicted. But yeah, I mean,
that's horrible.
Terrible. That's terrible. That's
9,000 fans?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Think about that. That's about 1/9 of Michigan State's fans at last week's football game against Jacksonville State.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, I talked about it when we talked about that Toronto Blue Jays series. Did you see? I think even less during that whole Toronto Blue Jays series when they were on the road. I mean, you look in the stands and you just see nobody. I mean, it's really sad.
He just hit a walk off.
Right, exactly.
In the ninth inning, no fans cheer? I mean, yeah, it's away, but right. There were no fans gasping. You didn't hear any awes or boos.
Just the presence of fans being in the stands, it wasn't there. And, you know, I think that's something baseball now, especially with the new commissioner, that's something they have to address now. I mean, how do you get a consistent fan base to come out to baseball games throughout an entire stretch of a season? And I think that's something they're going to have to address because now, I mean, with the youth, I mean, the attention span for today's youth is really short. Let's be honest here. Let's just be straight up honest here. Because I talk to my little cousins all the time. I even saw them at Labor Day, you know. And I talk to them all the time about why they don't watch baseball. You know, they're big NBA, NFL fans. And they love seeing that because, you know, NBA is real fast-paced. The NBA has all these characters and whatnot. And the NFL is just the NFL, for goodness sake. But with baseball, they feel as though it's too slow. It's too drawn out. The season is too long. I mean, these are all legitimate concerns that if you want to attract the youth, especially here in America, you're going to have to address. And that's part of the reason why I don't think fans are coming out to games. But, yeah, I mean, this is a great moment. This is what baseball is all about. I mean, J.D. Martinez smacking off, you know, a big, you know, hit like that right into the bushes to win the game. I mean, you'd think you'll have fans to react to that, but there weren't many in the stands. But that's a legitimate concern. But going back to the Tigers, though, hey, I think this is a great series for them. I think now playing Cleveland, who are in that third spot in the AL Central right now, clipping on the heels of the Tigers. This is a big series for the Tigers to keep the pace. Again, KC, right now, if you look at them, I mean, they're really holding that first place pretty strong here. KC is on a two-game winning streak right now against the Texas Rangers, who haven't been great all year. But it's desperation mode for the Tigers, and they have to keep winning here. They're in good position right now. They're keeping the pace with Kansas City, and they're doing the things that they need to do to win games. I was also impressed with Phil Cope, and also how about Kyle Lobstein? I mean, my goodness,
10
man.
10 Ks, huh?
He was great. He was outstanding, man. I mean, he struck out 10. You know, it looks as though he's going to get another start on Sunday night at home against the Giants on ESPN primetime there. So, I mean, I really thought he had a great outing, and Phil Cope came in and was a solid closer. I mean, I think the Tigers right now are showing signs that, honestly, they should have showed earlier. They should not be in this position when, especially if you look at, they had like an 8-game lead at one point in the AL Central. They shouldn't be in this position.
Yeah.
But they're showing signs of what they should, how they should be playing.
To be cynical, you could argue that they don't really know Lobstein yet. That's why he was effective. Coke only pitched against a lot of lefties. He didn't really face any righties that would have eat him up. So there are still some things you could argue there with all those guys. And, I mean, it's Cleveland. You're not playing a first-place team here. I mean, it's the Cleveland Indians, who have so many holes in their lineup.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. In a stretch like this, though, Alex, where you're in that mode where you have to win games to keep the pace, hey, you have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat here. You know what I mean? And in the past, I mean, we've seen the Tigers lose series to certain teams that you said, okay, that shouldn't have happened, you know? They're handling business. You know, another day at the office for them. And the same with Kansas City. I mean, looking at this series against the Texas, they haven't been great all year. KC is doing what they need to do to make sure that they, you know, hold down that number one spot. It's going to be interesting now, you know, as the season goes on, and now it's getting down really to the nitty-gritty. It's September now. October's right around the corner. The Tigers have to keep this up. The consistency is the key right now. And, you know, and that's why I still say, I'm sticking to my guns here. I still believe that the Tigers will pull out, making it to the playoffs, and possibly winning that AL Central. I think they will do it.
All right, Al. Bold predictions. But, I mean, aside from what they need to do right now, and I mean, we saw a team make a trade the other day. Do you think the Tigers will make any more moves leading up to the season? I mean, there's still some trades you can do. I mean, it's past the trade deadline, but there are certain kinds of trades you can make.
Yeah, I think right now, I think the Tigers may make a move for another bat.
I mean, the A's just made a move the other day. They acquired a bat.
Yeah, they did. I think the Tigers need, in all honesty, I think they need to make a move for another bat in the lineup.
You don't
lineup.
Think they need another relief?
I mean,
what about Soria? That's still so unclear.
At some point, the Tigers have to trust that their guys are going to get it together. I mean, we've talked about the bullpen so much, but how many times have we seen the inconsistency at bat as well? And which is a big reason why the Tigers got into this drought and a big reason why they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. Bats have gone cold way too often.
Yeah.
Just imagine if they have, you know, if they're bats go silent in a much needed, you know, game four or game three here or game five. That can't happen. Your bets have to allow you and put you in position to win games. Relief, you know, that's going to come, I think, for these guys. And we've seen some shades of positivity for this team as far as relief pitching is concerned for these past few weeks. I think Joe Nathan hasn't played bad. Again, Phil Koch has been, you know, relatively consistent throughout at least the past, you know, three or four outings for him. So I think the Tigers, that will even itself out when the playoffs come. I think, though, I just do not trust the Tigers to put up enough points against certain teams to win. And that's a problem. I think they will make a move, though. To answer your question, yes, I think they will make a move, and I think it will be to address how sometimes, you know, you hear crickets when they approach the bat. So, interesting stuff, though. All right. Well, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll talk about Wes Welker, Michael Sam, and also Barbershop Wednesday is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere.
Dolorido corazón, hoy vives desconsolado por perder esa pasión que se te fue de la mano. Los culpables son tus ojos para que me abras mirado.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. The man behind the glass is what we like to call him. Alex Shark is playing some worldwide music. We call it World Wednesday here on the show. Alex, where is that from?
That is some Argentinian folk today.
Argentinian folk?
That's
wow.
Right.
You had to really dig for that
one. I was digging, man. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Argentinian folk.
You know, it's funny. I was watching I watched some taping of a dance show, and they were doing the Argentinian tango, and I thought to myself, I should look up some Argentinian music for the show.
Yeah.
Pull that one out of the hat.
That is interesting stuff. That's very interesting stuff. All right. Thanks a lot, Alex, for definitely taking us around the world each and every Wednesday on World Wednesday here on WKR's Current Sports. Gotta love that. Gotta love that. All right. Well, let's keep this train moving. And it's, you know, first of all, you know, before we keep this train moving, Alex, speaking of, you know, worldwide flavor and whatnot, did you see, it's a funny video. If you guys haven't seen, I love to, you know, bring up quirky moments like this.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
yep,
what I'm
bringing up? The New Zealand.
Oh,
the
my gosh. Yep. Was it hilarious or not? Folks, if you haven't seen it, USA, they played New Zealand yesterday. And New Zealand has, like, this cultural dance that they do before each and every sporting event, right? And it's a really interesting dance. Interesting is the only word I can
use. The U.S. players look dumbfounded.
They look like, what in the world? Because they did it right before tip-off, and Derrick Rose and guys like James Harden, they just had like a blank stare on their face like, what in the world is going on right now? It is absolutely hilarious.
Like, they're thinking, are we playing basketball here?
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious, folks. If you haven't seen it, it's all over YouTube. All right, well, let's keep this train moving now. Let's talk about, yes, Wes Welker. Wes Welker, an outstanding player for the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning and the Broncos, a big contributor to that offense, wide receiver for the Broncos. Interesting because Wes Welker is kind of caught red-handed, folks. He's denying, though, that his four-game suspension for breaking the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs was a result of his taking MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy, or a drug called Molly, at the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. He says, quote, "I wouldn't have any idea where to get a Molly or what a Molly is. That's a joke. I don't do marijuana. I don't do drugs. I don't do any drugs." Now, Welker tested positive for amphetamines from a sample taken shortly after he attended the Kentucky Derby. So, interesting stuff here, Alice, because when you look at it, if you really dive into the article and look and really dive into the reporting on this story and read the quotes from Wes Welker, we just read a sample size there, a small sample size of it there. But, you know, Wes Welker seems very adamant in making sure that everyone knows that he does not do drugs. And
you know
he doesn't even know what
and
Molly
is. You know who else was adamant that they didn't do steroids? Barry Bonds.
A lot of people, yeah.
Lance Armstrong.
The athletes are countless.
Alex Rodriguez.
Exactly.
I can tell you that I did not take it. I can tell you. I don't know how I could have tested for this.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, this is Wes Welker's first defense as far as drugs, though, right?
But he also knows that the punishment for this could be
pretty
bad.
Big. Exactly. And that's
lose
why
some money, lose games.
Right. When looking at this, looking at Wes Welker's history, I mean, he's had no history with drug problems. He's never been tested positive for a drug problem or issue. So, you know, looking at his accounts here, And looking at, you know, the testing that went on in this story, I mean, wouldn't, because the report says that, you know, MDMA was found in his system. And, you know, especially, and also looking at the timing of this.
And an amphetamine, right, is what I also
Yeah,
heard.
Amphetamines, yeah. He tested positive for
multiple,
amphetamines.
Multiple things. I mean, this wasn't just MDMA. I mean, amphetamines, there had to be some kind of other drug in there, too.
Right. And I just don't buy, no matter how much he denies it, I just don't know if I buy that, you know, he didn't know. You know what I mean? If he did. Because it looks as though, looking at his story, it looks as though, you know, that there was some speculation as to maybe somebody put something in his drink or something like that.
It would be different if it was a girl, I would say, just because.
Right, and I was going to bring up that.
Yeah,
because when you talk about, you know, females who go out, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of sick people in this world. Let's just say that. There's a lot of sick people in this world who, you know, will sometimes take advantage of women. And if they're not looking, man, you can get something slipped in your drink and mm-hmm. then. You know, it could be a horror story. I mean, we've seen that happen. Yep. You know, we've seen that on many crime detective shows and whatnot. But rarely do you see that happen to a guy. You don't see that happen to a guy, to be honest with you, where something got slipped in his drink and he was taken advantage of and all and so on and so forth. If a guy has something in his drink that, you know, heightens his high or is something like a Molly or ecstasy, it's pretty much a good guess that he put that in there. He knows what's in there, and he's actively participating in that type of activity. Yeah. Now in this whole thing, hey, he's caught red-handed. They found something in his system. Wes Welker, you know the policy. You know what you can and can't put in your system. I don't care how, you know, big of a partier you are or how, you know, if you weren't looking, somebody slipped something in your drink or something like that. You have to be aware of that kind of stuff. You're a professional athlete. Your head has to be on a swivel. What I didn't like from the NFL here, though, Alex, I agree with the suspension, but the suspension should have came earlier. It is the week. Oh, this is the start of the NFL this week. Mm-hmm. This Thursday, tomorrow, the NFL kicks off for a brand new season. This Sunday, we're going to be glued to our TVs. I'm going to be in hibernation watching as many games as I can. This is the week the NFL starts. And what, a day before the NFL officially starts, you hand down a suspension to a very prominent player of the Denver Broncos offense who has been used in countless times throughout practice in preparation for the upcoming game. I believe they play the Indianapolis Colts in week one, a big matchup. You want to start your season off right, and you've been prepping with the inclination that you're thinking that Wes Welker is going to be healthy here. You probably ran some plays. You're thinking about running some plays for him. Now, you get this news literally days before you start your season, and you have to revamp your scheme. It's not fair to the Denver Broncos organization that they have to suffer for one idiot's mistake.
Yeah, but I do feel the NFL at the same time that maybe there were some circumstantial evidences there, and maybe they still wanted to look into it more to prove that it was actually accurate. And when he denied it, when he said, I've never taken it before and have no idea how it got there, maybe they wanted to investigate so they don't make a bad move if something wasn't true. If it wasn't. I mean, obviously, we both agree that there's no way that, one, it's not like you're raving somewhere. You're at the Kentucky Derby. You're not going to get slipped a drink at the Kentucky Derby with MDMA in it. I mean, you're seeing horses with old money in Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? So
it's highly likely that will happen. Huh?
So, you know, that's what I'm saying is obviously, we agree that there's no way that he didn't know. But from the NFL standpoint, you have to be objective with it, Al. And
but
you need to investigate all different
right,
causes.
I agree. I see that. But, I mean, first of all, you're the NFL. They could have sped up the investigation process.
I mean, can they? I mean, look at all the concussion
yes,
stuff they have going on.
I think they could have. I mean, they knew
that's
in the back of their mind.
That's more important than this.
But if you're going to hand down a four-game suspension, why not let them play week one? So, and then after that, hand down a four-game suspension. You don't brush that on a team
right.
days before. You know what I mean?
So the suspension does start now. It starts this
yeah,
week.
He's not playing.
He doesn't have an option to choose
no,
when.
No, he is not playing this weekend, period. He's done for four games. We won't see him until October. So, I mean, it's unfair. I know what I'm saying is it's unfair to Peyton Manning and the Broncos, period, here. And it's going to hurt the Broncos. I think it will hurt. Now with this, now, I don't know. I may be kind of swaying, you know, in that week one matchup to maybe choose Andrew Luck and Indianapolis Colts to pull out that one. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans through as details have certainly emerge and how Wes Welker is certainly not going to lie down about this. You heard his quotes. He's going to fight this and feel as though the league's drug policy procedures are, quote, clearly flawed. 517-355-9527, 517 855-955-9527. Call in, or, you know, call in at 51 at that number, or you can also tweet me at AlMartinWKR or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All right. Now, of course, you have to bring this up. Michael Sam. How about this? Michael Sam, which is, of course, who came out as the first openly gay NFL player. Michael Sam, who was, of course, he was also cut by the St. Louis Rams, the team that did draft him. He was cut by the St. Louis Rams, seeing as though they didn't really need him on the practice squad or couldn't find him a spot on the 53-man roster. But the Dallas Cowboys have found some use for Michael Sam. The Cowboys have signed a defensive end to their practice squad. And Cowboys coach Jason Garrett, he announced the signing this morning, saying, quote, We just want to give him a chance to come in and help our football team. That's where our attention is. What people say outside the organization is up to them, end quote. I think this is fantastic, Alex. I think Michael Sam, especially looking at, you know, again, now I know college and the pros are two totally different realms of football, two totally different levels of competition. But Michael Sam showed that, hey, you know, he's a pretty good football player. He's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, for goodness sake. The SEC, of course, is hands down the best college football league in all of the nation. And Michael Sam was the guy last year. And I think that, you know, he showed that he can play. And then there was even speculation that, you know, he was really close to making that practice squad for the Rams. I'm glad he's going to be in the league, because to go beyond the X's and O's, which you like to do here on this show, and to really talk about, you know, his influence for many, 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 many athletes and many, many people out there in general who are afraid to come out and announce that they are, you know, gay or lesbian and so on and so forth. Michael Sam opened the door for a lot of people to be comfortable with that and to come out. We saw him get the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs. I mean, he's influenced a lot of people, in that area and beyond. And I just feel as though that if Michael Sam didn't make at least, you know, if he didn't at least make a practice squad, let alone a 53-man roster, and just happened to be jobless this upcoming season, it kind of would have diluted his effort a little bit.
Now, Al, do you think that
purely
him being cut from the Rams was because they had too many positions, or is there a doubt in your mind that maybe they didn't want that quote-unquote distraction that comes along with it?
Well, first of all, I'll get to that. But the reason why I say, first off, to make this point clear, the reason why I say that it kind of would have been a wasted effort is because this is all fine and dandy that Michael Sam, you know, he has a possibility of becoming the first openly gay NFL player. But let's say he didn't make a roster. You know, let's say we didn't turn on, you know, a game one Sunday or at least, you know, read a report about him, you know, making some strides on the practice squad. I mean, it kind of would have been like, okay, this is fantastic. But now, you know, Michael Sam, he isn't playing anymore. His reach now, you know, it won't become as much as to possibly him, you know, as to what it could have been if he would have made a roster. So I think people seeing him now still in the NFL gives a lot of athletes hope and a lot of people out there who are struggling with coming out a lot of hope that, hey, you can, yeah, I mean, this is Michael Sam and he's still successful doing what he loves to do and playing the game he loves. So, but to go on as to why he didn't make the practice squad, I mean, hey, Jeff Fisher and company, hey, they drafted this guy because they saw a lot of potential in him. They, you know, they felt as though he was a great player, and they felt as though, you know, they wanted to give him a shot at making a roster, you know? Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of battle and a lot of competition that goes on in the NFL preseason training camp. You know, he's battling a lot of guys on a daily basis. And, you know, Jeff Fisher, you know, he's always been an upstanding guy. I mean, just the lone fact that the Rams drafted Michael Sam says a lot about the organization. They gave him a fair shot. I don't think there was any shystiness going on behind the scenes here. I just felt as though they didn't see a need for him on the practice squad. They had other roles filled. He just couldn't fit, period. I truly believe that.
Yeah, now, about your Cowboys and his fit there, I know it's your team.
They need
him. And listeners, Al Martin's team is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I love the Cowboys.
Now, looking at their defense as objectively as you can, how badly do you think they need a defensive line?
They need him badly. If you look at last year's defensive line, the Cowboys had no defensive line.
Their defense in general was a joke.
Oh, it's atrocious.
Especially historically, right?
Can you imagine how I felt, too? You know, also being a Lions guy, born and raised in Detroit. I root for the Lions, of course, and they didn't make the playoffs, and my Cowboys, and then Tony Romo just kind of went haywire at the end of last year. I mean, the defense is terrible. And you bring in a guy now who can kind of beef up that defensive line. There was no pass rush last year for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they barely even sniffed the quarterback, let alone sacked him. It was just terrible. And I think bringing in a Michael Sam, a guy who showed that, you know, he has a lot of potential, bringing him in and giving him a shot is great. I love it. And I think that, you know, it's going to force the players around, you know, him, and force the players who've already made the 53-man roster to become better. I just want to see this kid shine. I think eventually Michael Sam will make a 53-man roster in this league.
Yeah, he has to. Honestly, I mean, 3 sacks in the preseason is a pretty good stat, Al. I mean, I'm surprised, honestly, that he may not even be not just on the 53-man roster, but a second stringer, if not first. I mean, 3 sacks is pretty good for preseason. There's some guys that are starting on teams that maybe had 1 sack or 0 sacks in the preseason.
Yeah, he was impressive. I thought he had an outstanding preseason. Of course, we saw the sack that he had on Johnny Manziel, which virtually blew up Twitter. But I think he will find his way. He's shown that he has a lot of speed and agility. He has a great first step off the line. I like the kid. I like the kid. I'm rooting for him. And I think it's a great notion that the Cowboys are now giving him a shot. Again, folks, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about here on the show, you know the number 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin, WKR. Don't touch that dial, because when we come back, we'll have Barbershop Wednesday for you. And, of course, the Yankees wearing a Derek Jeter patch. When does it become too much? Don't worry, we'll return in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, reminding you all that Current Sports TV tapes tonight at 6 p.m. Yes, we have moved from our summertime from 10 a.m., which we did throughout the entire summer, which is a great time, from 10 a.m. to, you know, about 12 noon. We're now going back to our 6 p.m. originally scheduled time on Current Sports TV. And you can be a part of that live studio audience. Yes, there is still time. Of course, we tape again at 6 p.m. tonight. If you want to be a part of the live studio audience tonight, just simply go to WKAR.org to sign up online for free. My guest tonight will be Kathy George, the head women's volleyball coach for Michigan State. Should be a great time, ladies and gents. All right, well, it's Wednesday, and each every Wednesday we like to bring sort of a fill of debate. And we entitle it Barbershop Wednesday because, you know, each and every time you go into a barbershop, you know, there's always a sports debate going on. Everybody thinks they're a sports expert. Well, we're going to bring it to you. We're going to bring that type of feel to this Wednesday and each and every Wednesday throughout here on Current Sports. Here it is, Barbershop Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
That's right. Tell them, Cedric. Barbershop Wednesday. Today's topic centers on Derek Jeter and the New York Yankees. If you haven't heard, folks, the New York Yankees announced on Tuesday that the team will wear a patch of Derek Jeter's final season logo on all player hats and unis from September 7th. Which is the day that the shortstop will be honored at Yankee Stadium throughout the end of the season. Now, the baseballs with Jeter logos that will be put in play on September 7th and also the unis used in the game and throughout the rest of the season will be sold by Steiner Sports. And Steiner has an exclusive autograph deal, with Jeter, and has been selling more than 200 Jeter-signed products, including game-used jerseys that retail for $25,000. Of course, this is Derek Jeter's final year. He's such a hallmark in the world of baseball. He's been really the face of baseball for quite some time now. It's sad to see him go, and he has certainly been honored throughout this entire season. Every single away game, just about every single away game or every single final stop at an away game that he's been playing in, that team has honored Derek Jeter. He's been getting gifts left and right. Many people have been honoring Derek Jeter throughout this year, and the Yankees are going to do it in a pretty cool and special way. Interesting story here because, you know, we're begging the question today, when is too much, you know, to honor a great athlete like Derek Jeter or the Michael Jordans and Tiger Woodses of our sporting culture? When does it become excessive? My initial thoughts when seeing this story, Alex, was, I was pretty – I was a little bit shocked, you know, when I saw it, because, you know, I was sitting there like, okay, Derek Jeter, I mean, he's been honored throughout this entire season so far. You know, he's been, you know, again, he's been showered with gifts. I mean, we've seen the Derek Jeter Jordan commercial, which I think is one of my favorite commercials of all time. I absolutely love it. I don't care how many times it's played and was played throughout that All-Star break. But I love that. I think Derek Jeter has certainly been getting a lot of praise from, you know, many players, you know, and teammates and, you know, celebrities alike. And I just think at some point it does become a little too much. And, you know, with this, I think this all has to do with money, you know, period. The Yankees are seeing, you know, an opportunity here where they've got one of the best players in the game for, you know, one of the greatest. He's a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. And, you know, this is his final year, and they're seeing an opportunity to capitalize on that. Fans want memorabilia to remind them of Derek Jeter and his final year and what, so on and so forth. Why not make some memorabilia where you have hats that you can sell?
Catch his home run balls that are still going out there.
Exactly. Where you got, why not make some unis that have Derek Jeter's logo on it? This, for me, was solely a publicity stunt for the Yankees to make some money. A very smart one at that, because at the end of the day, the Yankees are a business and an organization. They're about dollar signs, and they're seeing an opportunity here. As far as the notion of honoring Derek Jeter in this capacity, I think it may be going a little overboard. I think people, honestly, are kind of getting tired of it. I don't know.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying, like many, I love Derek Jeter. He's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. I have nothing bad to say about Derek Jeter.
Same here.
But the problem with this, Al, is when you see stitching on logos and on the jerseys, I mean, that's for when there's a death, there's something going on, someone maybe has cancer.
So do you think it's disrespectful to those?
There are more extreme cases.
Yeah.
And not only is it a tad disrespectful, but it puts any other baseball player that has retired in their last year and still playing a season to shame as well. I mean, this isn't the first time a player has said, this is my last year, I'm going to retire after this year, and they play the whole season. Some good ones, too. I mean, if Derek Jeter came out and didn't say, this will be my last year, and he comes out in the offseason like many of the greats have done. Jordan didn't go out and say, this is my last year. He retired after the offseason. He thought about it. Many of the greats, Babe Ruth, I mean, there have been plenty of other great baseball players, Nolan Ryan, they didn't play their quote-unquote final season and go on throughout the year.
Well, with Jordan, remember with the Wizards he did. With the Bulls it was different. But yeah,
it was after the fact. The Bulls was when he was at his prime, Al.
Yeah, but he was still Michael Jordan with the Wizards, though. You know,
it was different.
They did the same thing when honoring Jordan with the whole, but they didn't put his logo on. Every teammate of his didn't have to wear his logo, you know? Yeah, there's a bit. I agree. I agree with you.
I'm taking it more extreme than you. I mean, I think this is completely disrespectful. Less more than a money thing. More of a. It's hard to put it. It's more of like a showering opportunity for the team.
See, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's disrespectful. If anything, it's a little.
You don't think it's disrespectful?
It's a little too respectful. It's a little too respectful.
To anyone that suffered
a disease or cancer? Because
you're putting someone in the same league as that.
But no. I think you're looking at it wrong here. Just because in the past, historically, we've seen, you know, players who have passed away or legends of the game who have made a hallmark on the game, just because we've seen, you know, their patch or number, I should say, stitch on a jersey or a hat of every player on the team, just because we've seen that in that capacity doesn't mean that Derek Jeter's patch, you know, being worn by his fellow teammates is in that same category as well.
Yeah.
Who's to say that just because, you know, in the past, a fallen athlete or a former player who's made a profound impact on the game, just because they've worn a patch in that player's
Jackie
honor.
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. Just because they've worn a patch or worn that number in his honor, who's to say that's on the same level of Derek Jeter's? Derek Jeter's in a different capacity, and people have to see past that, which I think that, I mean, I don't think it's too respectful for me. If anything, it's not disrespectful, though, if anything.
Well, remember, it's not about being on the same level in the way that someone having cancer is on the patch means that Derek Jeter is at that same level.
But Jackie
what I'm
Robinson
saying is,
didn't have cancer.
It's right.
Jackie Robinson
regardless,
didn't have cancer. You know what I mean?
Regardless of what it is, if it's cancer, if it's Jackie
it's
Robinson's
honoring
impact.
Something. It's right, honoring something.
It's honoring something. And it's the level of the importance of that person being honored and versus more extreme cases. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me that Jackie Robinson had the same amount of impact on the game as Derek Jeter.
He had more of an
way
impact
more
than Derek Jeter.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
But that's why...
But that's why every player in the league has to wear 42.
Sure,
instead of... This is just the Yankees.
Right. But that's why this doesn't really draw the line. This is a gray area now. This has overstepped so many boundaries...
You might see every team
honoring a player from now on.
I think you're being a little too sensitive with it, Alex. I think that, again, this is just the Yankees doing this. This is just the Yankees teammates.
Yeah, but it opens the door.
This is just the Yankees teammates, deciding to honor one of the greatest players in their history. I mean, Derek Jeter, the captain. You know what I mean? His aura. I mean, he'll go down. He's a shoe-in for, the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter has been the face of baseball for quite some time now, and the Yankees want to go all out and do it. Now, I don't think they should have done this in this capacity. I just think it's too much. The reason why I don't agree with it, not because of disrespect and, there's been other causes that have been greater and other players greater than Derek Jeter that have been honored, and you're now putting him in that same category, so to speak. I don't think that. I just think that Derek Jeter has been honored really enough here. You know what I mean? I don't think you have to make merchandise with the number 2 and make his teammates wear, hats and unis with his number on it. You don't have to do all of that to honor Derek Jeter on Derek Jeter Day at Yankee Stadium. That, I think, is going a little too far. But, again, it's a great PR move by the New York Yankees because people are going to buy that, Alex. I mean, you got to give the people what they want.
And at the end of the day,
those jerseys are going to sell. They're going to sell out. Those hats are going to sell out. It is going to be a piece of memorabilia that 30 or 40 years from now, when they look back, people are still going to have that and say, hey, yeah, I was there at Derek Jeter Day at Yankee Stadium. It's a great PR move. It's a little excessive for me, though, for reasons other than yours, though.
All right, fair enough. But at the end of the day, Al, you can't tell me that the Tigers may not think about putting Alan Trammell's number on a jersey here and there now.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
So you think this will open the door for other things?
I mean, look how well the Yankees are doing with this.
But the thing that makes this so different, though, Alex, especially in that regard, when you talk about Alan Trammell, the thing is Alan Trammell is no longer playing right now. Derek Jeter is still on the mound.
Okay,
when Miguel
Cabrera is ready to retire, you don't think the Tigers won't think about that?
They may.
Absolutely.
They definitely.
I've never seen it. But when else has this happened?
But if you are a GM, if you're an owner of the Tigers. Hey, don't you think that would be a smart move?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a genius move. It's absolutely genius. So, fans want it. Give them what they want, even though I just think it's just a little. And I think even Derek Jeter, even when he's honored, he's just a classy guy. I mean, he'll just kind of wave to the crowd and just kind of, you can tell. For me, when I look at Derek Jeter when he's getting honored, it just seems as though he doesn't want the attention. He's like, okay, it may be a little too much for him too. I don't know. I would love to hear his thoughts on this, because I'm pretty sure they're conflicted in one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's uncharted territory, and yeah, I agree. Hearing his comments would probably be best.
Yeah, certainly. All right, folks, again, if you want to weigh in on anything we discussed here on the show, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, Current Sports TV tapes this evening at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with head coach Kathy George of the MSU women's volleyball team. If you want to join that audience, you can go to WKAR.org and sign up online. Again, folks, same time, same place tomorrow. Oh, boy. Happy Wednesday, folks, and be easy.